our friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Mike, how hard are you right now?
Oh, man, I've been hard since you said, hi, welcome to Friends with Fantasy Benefits podcast.
Yeah. Come on, lefty lefty, get out of here with that shit.
How many times do you want to keep bringing this shit up? How many times I got to prove you wrong before that you're just going to give up on this?
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hey, you and Mike have something in common.
Ugh, that's sickening.
Yeah, well, sorry about your luck, man.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
No, I don't listen to you. I don't want to have any of the same guys in my life that you do.
Well, you're about to, because I'm going to put Cano in here.
Oh, you rat bastard.
We are friends with Fantasy Benefits.
Hello and welcome to the Friends with Fantasy Benefits DFS podcast. This is your show for July 15th, and that is a Friday, but unlike normal, I do not have Mike Werner with me on this show. Eli is filling in. Eli, I just couldn't bear to be away from you for another day. It's been 2 weeks.
Well, that's the nicest thing anyone's ever said to me. Who needs Mike Werner anyway, honestly?
No one actually needs Mike Werner for anything ever. I just kind of let him do this, just, you know, he needs something in his life.
Well, now we've taken this away from him, so I don't know what he's got to live for at this point.
Yeah, I don't know. It was really his choice, too. Mike has another obligation tonight. I'm not sure what it is. I'm sure it's something ridiculous and lame, but that's fine.
Eli sounds like Mike, all right.
I know. So Eli is here to pick up the slack for us. Coming out of the All-Star break here, so we're going to kind of get back into the roll of things. Eli, like I mentioned, we got butted up against the fourth holiday and then the All-Star break, so we haven't had him on Tuesday in a while, so this will give us... This will give us an opportunity to provide the good show to the people, you know?
Yeah, so you know what to expect. People listen on Tuesdays, they know how much gold this is.
Exactly. They really do. We are going to try a little bit of a change up in the format here. We're doing it a little bit more extemporaneous than usual. We're just kind of go down some names that we both want to talk about here. Not much pre-planning here, and we're going to see what happens. Just letting the people in on the production of the show there.
Yes, it's like freestyle rapping.
Exactly. All right, so we'll jump into the pitchers. I'll let you lead it off. This was your idea, so if it bombs horribly, I will blame it on you.
Yeah, there's not a lot of pitching options. I like this. I don't think there's any surefire guys that you have to get in there. I'm interested in what you think about Carrasco and Bumgarner. They're the two biggest names, the two most expensive names, but neither of them have really good matchups. Carrasco, 12,300. Minnesota's actually pretty decent against righties. It's a solid matchup, but 12,300 for... Carrasco's a little bit too expensive for my liking. I like that Bumgarner's $1,200 cheaper, but Padres are actually fifth in the OPS against lefties. I don't know how that's possible, but the numbers aren't lying. But you know what? They don't scare me. I know they're top five, but how are they going to do against one of the best lefties in baseball? And it's a great place to pitch. Bumgarner's a goddamn stud. So if you can afford to get him in your lineup, I think you probably have to do it considering there's not a lot of reliable guys out there right now.
I am in complete agreement on Bumgarner. That's the most surefire pick of the day for me. I'm not really scared with the old what you mentioned, their top five against lefties and OPS for the Padres. That's still a bad offense, and this is one of the best pitchers, so I'm willing to throw that out of the window here. I do like Carrasco, but I'm not paying 12.3 for him when I like Bumgarner better and he's 1,200 cheaper. So I really won't be upset if anyone puts him in their lineup, but I think you're just overlooking the obvious play with Madison.
Exactly, and there's no way you can afford both of them together, so you kind of have to choose one or the other.
Right. So I'm in agreement there. We'll kind of go down the list here. The next guy I'm going to bring up here is Justin Verlander, $9,400. Verlander's having a really odd season. He either is dynamite, dominant on the mound, or he gets lit up for whatever reason. He's coming off a little bit tough start in Toronto where he actually grinded. It was actually one of his more like in-between starts of the season where he was just kind of okay. But I kind of like him in this matchup here. Casey, I mean, doesn't strike out a ton, but they're striking out more than they did last year. They're coming into Detroit, so it's a home game for him. I feel comfortable with this, and it's still a weak hitting team. As far as trying to get a guy under 10 grand, which is usually what I try to do, even my top pitcher, I try to get under that $10,000 price tag. So I am rolling with Verlander in this game. Do you have any opinion on that? You like that play, or you think it's a bad spot for him?
I don't think it's a bad spot. It's perfectly reasonable to me. The price isn't outrageous, and I know we obviously know Verlander's not the old Verlander, but you know he still has 120 strikeouts and 117 innings. So he's a guy that goes deep into games, gets you some strikeouts, and he's also capable of going vintage Verlander every once in a while. So and the Kansas City Royals lineup is solid, but it's not monstrous or anything, especially with Lorenzo Cain out. So it's a perfectly reasonable spot, especially when there's not a lot of good pitchers out there today.
Yep, I think you're. I mean, obviously, it's not a guarantee, but yeah, I'm pretty comfortable in saying that I think Verlander's going to go probably about seven innings and get about seven strikeouts. And at $9,400, I'm all right with that. I don't think he gives up many runs, if any. Beyond that, the next guy I'll touch on, just because it's a tradition on the podcast, especially on the Friday slate, so you get to join in on the conversation.
Chris Archer?
Once. Yeah, how do you like that? He's $8,500 here. He's at home against Baltimore. I'm still not going that route. I've been burned too many times this season already, but we do have to talk about it. It's a rule around here.
Yeah, I'm about to get burned again. I don't blame you, and I wish I had the resolve that you did and would just stay away for a little while. But
well, you don't wish I had the resolve because I played it about three starts too many.
Well, I probably played it five starts too many. Archer's good at home. He's got a 270 ERA at home. His main problem has been he's just been dreadful on the road. And
he's got 130 strikeouts.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the price is solid. The ERA at home's good. The Ks are fantastic. Obviously, Baltimore is elite against right-handed hitters, right-handed pitchers. They're second in OPS. So it's just not a good matchup. But again, when you have a guy that's capable of dominating, those guys can shut down any lineup. So I'm just going to go against the grain a little bit and just hope that he gives me something. There's no other options, man. This is such a weak slate.
I know, it's really bad. I mean, not that Carrasco is in any way a bad pitcher, but when that's the top matchup against Minnesota on the day, or Bumgarner, I mean, like we talked about, the Bumgarner starts better, but there's really beyond those two, you're not looking at upside, so I totally get it with Archer. I mean, I gravitate there every time I see him, and I think about it, and the last few times I've kind of shied away and looked for other options, but I hope you're right. I absolutely hope you're right, and I would not be shocked if he goes out there and strikes out, you know, 10 guys and goes seven innings.
I mean,
he's totally capable of that.
Yeah, I can't tell you how many times I paired Archer and Matt Harvey together in DFS this year. I feel like they pitched on the same day every start, and it burned me just about every time. So I'm glad that I don't have to pair him with Harvey anymore because that's not an option. So maybe right. I'm hoping Archer gets hurt so I don't have to play him anymore either.
Maybe it was Matt Harvey that was holding him back, Eli. Maybe now Archer's going to flourish in the second half.
That's an interesting theory, but I'm not sure it holds much water.
Probably not. So next one that you want to touch on here.
Well, what about James Paxton? He's $7,800, a pretty good price, but I'm not sure he's good. Like, I know he's got potential, hard-throwing left-hander, and he's shown some flashes this year. And the matchup's actually pretty good. Houston's 27th against lefties, which is a little surprising to me because Altuve's so good. But I guess the rest of the lineup just really struggles against lefties. Paxton does have good K potential. He just doesn't show it all the time. And I feel like he's got a good chance to win because Doug Fister is not particularly good, and this is a bad matchup for Fister. So I think Paxton's got a decent chance of getting the win and maybe getting a handful of strikeouts. And the price is good, like I said.
Yeah, it's a name that I was considering, and I'm actually still considering it. So I might end up with Paxton in my final lineup here. It just depends on some other maneuvers I'd have to make. But you're certainly right about the strikeout potential. He's a hard-throwing lefty. He has the ability to strike guys out. It's just been so hit or miss last year. Like, he had probably his best start of the season, his last start out, and he only got two. I mean, he goes eight innings against the Royals, and I think it was like one or two runs, so pretty darn good, but he just doesn't strike anybody out in that game. So it's an odd pitcher to play on any given start. I don't hate it because, like you said, the win potential's there. Houston not the best against lefties. You know, you just walk Altuve every time, you're probably going to be fine. So I kind of like the play, but I wouldn't be surprised if he gets shelled in this game either. So, I mean, it's a risk play. But like you mentioned before also, I mean, we're dealing with a lot of risk plays on this slate today. So I think that one offers as much upside as most of the other ones, if not more.
Yeah, the problem is that you said you wouldn't be surprised if he got shelled. I wouldn't either. But there's only two guys in this entire slate that won't get shelled, probably, and that's Carrasco and Bumgarner. And like we said before, you can't afford both. So you're going to have to pair one of those guys with someone who's risky.
Right. I completely agree. And speaking of risk, I'm going to just get your opinion on the other guy that I'm probably going to wind up starting here. He's the one currently in the lineup. That's Marcus Stroman at $7,500. It's at Oakland. That's basically the basis for this play here. His last two starts have been pretty good, too, and he's little bit more strikeout. Not a good year for Stroman to this point, but I feel comfortable against the Oakland offense. Do you you have an opinion on that one?
Yep, I agree. He's in my lineup right now as well. Oakland is 28th against righties in OPS. It's a great place to pitch. Like you said, Stroman was good in his last two starts. And yeah, Stroman's not an elite strikeout guy or anything, but he's capable of getting six fairly consistently. And for a $7,500 price tag, it's not like you need him to be getting you 12 Ks.
Exactly. So I think that as far as getting towards the middle to bottom end of the barrel, Stroman was definitely my favorite option. Beyond that, I mean, I'm really struggling here. I mean, there's not a lot of guys I'm either going to consider. Let's just run off the lineup here, and we can touch on any of them if we want to, of the options that you have that are cheaper than Stroman. Jorge De La Rosa, Yovani Gallardo, Doug Fister, Wei-Yin Chen, Bud Norris, Bartolo Colon, Lucas Harrell, Marza, Francisco Liriano, Eduardo Rodriguez, Miguel Gonzalez, Andrew Cashner. You touching any of that?
No. I think Colon is a guy you can consider. I wouldn't do it, but you know, he's a guy that doesn't get shelled. He doesn't get a lot of strikeouts, but for $6,200, he might get you a quality start. And pair him with Bumgarner, you might get a decent combination there. I'm not doing it, but it's reasonable. Liriano's interesting because he's a guy that's capable of getting a lot of strikeouts, but I know the price tag is $4,900, which is fantastic, but I don't love the matchup at Washington. And Liriano's,
I don't like it at all.
Liriano's been a goddamn mess. I mean, he's just walking people left and right. He doesn't go deep in the game, so how many strikeouts can he really get? It's a bummer that Liriano took such a turn for the worse this year. I'm hopeful that he can turn it around at some point, but until he starts doing that, you can't really play him no matter the price.
Two of his last nine starts, he's gone six or more innings, and those two starts, it was exactly six. I can't even begin to justify it. It is a $4,900 price tag, but while it's a good offense, I don't think it offers almost any upside right now. And you're right, he is walking the frickin' house.
I'm assuming you're not throwing trash in out there.
No, I'm not touching that. Plus, there's literally zero win potential, in my opinion, in that one. Yes. Bumgarner. So, I mean, you're not even going to have that. Maybe potential upside in Trashner's last start, two and two thirds, four home runs, eight earned runs. Yeah, I'm gonna pass, man.
There's only one other name that maybe we should talk about. What about Jaime Garcia? I don't love the matchup against Miami. Miami really does hit lefties pretty well, and a lot of their guys seem to be heating up. But $7,700 for a decent pitcher at home is okay, I guess.
It's sandwiched between Paxton and Stroman, and I think I like both of them better. So if you want a cheaper option, Stroman, and then Paxton's $100 more. Not that, like we said, not that Paxton has been amazing, but he's got relatively decent win potential against Fister, and he's got more upside than Garcia in my estimation.
Are you a DeSclafani believer? Because his price tag's kind of high for a guy that I really don't think is good. But at the same time, he's pitched pretty well since coming back, so maybe you got to consider him?
I'd like to see a little bit more. I mean, he's certainly been good the last, like, four starts out. I mean, Milwaukee, what is it? It's got to be a middle-of-the-pack offense. I mean, it's not terrible.
At best,
but it's not, right. I mean, it's not terrible. So, I mean, there's a couple of threats in that lineup. I guess I don't hate it. It's in Cincinnati. It's not the best park in the world to pitch either. At 96, I don't think I do.
Yeah,
I like Verlander much more against KC at 94. Let's put
Of course you do. You're a homer.
I think that's the first time I've ever mentioned him, to be honest.
That's factually incorrect. Maybe on a Friday show, but I know you and I have talked about him several times on Tuesdays. But why don't we move on to catchers, because we're trying to get this podcast under 40 minutes.
All right, moving on to catchers here. I'll bring up the one guy that caught my eye originally here because he was so cheap. Gattis is $2,900 against Paxton, and that's the one reason that I can't get Paxton into the lineup. I've got the money to do it, but I literally can't find another catcher that's cheaper than this that I can get in there. But I really like Gattis at $2,900. He's got 13 homers on the year. Paxton, like we said, been kind of hit or miss. So and you touched on this before the show too. What are you really expecting out of your catcher anyway? I mean, it's probably not going to be an elite game, so get a guy in there that's got cheap power.
Oh, yeah, I love that play. You know, Gattis is a bad catcher, but at the same time, he's one of the elite power hitters at catcher. And for that price, I mean, that's pretty great. He has the platoon advantage that we like. He destroys lefties, so I know Paxton's got potential, but I think you got to exploit this and get him in your lineup. I was going to put him in my lineup, but there's one catcher for a little bit more expensive that has such an incredible matchup, and you're not going to like it.
Okay, let's hear it.
Salvador Perez against Verlander.
Hey, I've recommended Salvador Perez quite a few times lately.
Yes, but $3,500 is pretty solid. He's you know, easily one of the three best hitting catchers in baseball. Very consistent, hits for a good average, got good pop. What I liked about this one was he's 22 for 46 on Verlander.
Yeah,
that sounds about right. That's ownage right there.
No, it is. That's Victor Martinez versus Chris Sale numbers right there.
Yeah, that's well played by you because that's a very sore subject on me. Way to turn it around. Well played.
That's what I'm here for. Here's the other thing that drives me so – it doesn't drive me crazy. But the thing that has just been happening all season long is I'm going to wind up being really interested in all of the Baltimore options today. Because all season long, everyone offensively is repressed price-wise against Archer. I understand it. Obviously, Archer has the potential to be a great pitcher, but Wieters is $3,000. We're going to get into some of the outfielders earlier. I think Adam Jones is like $3,500. And they do this. I remember noticing this a few times with the White or Red Sox against Archer. I'm finding some of these price tags a little bit more difficult to get away from. Now, this spot, I really like Gattis, so I don't have to worry about it. But if Gattis wasn't $2,900, I think I'd be playing Wieters all day here.
Yeah, it's perfectly reasonable. I mentioned I've noticed that too, that the prices against Archer are like as if he was a Cy Young contender still, and he's not. And Wieters is a good play. I thought he was a guy that hit lefties better, but this year he is destroying righties and not hitting lefties at all. So, yeah, that's a great play. That's two really great catcher options for cheap. I just want to go with Salvi because of that success against Verlander. But, yeah, there's a lot of good catcher options this time. You don't have to spend the $4,800 on Posey or the $4,200 on Wilson Ramos.
I don't think I'm ever going to do it again. It's just such a rare occurrence where I would consider Posey anymore because there's so many good options at the other positions, and I'm just trying to get one out of my catcher anyway.
Although the $4,800 this time for Posey is perfectly reasonable considering... Sure. Because he's slashing .429, .484, .714 against trash there, so that's pretty good.
Yeah, those are pretty good numbers. I mean, I don't hate Brian McCann either at $4,900, to be perfectly honest. But I still just... Yeah.
Come on, lefty-lefty, get out of here with that shit.
How many times do you want to keep bringing this shit up? How many times I got to prove you wrong before that you're just going to give up on this?
You want to make a bet? You got McCann, I'll take Salvador?
Yes, I will take that.
I'm sure we'll both forget about this by the next time we talk, but...
I'll only forget about it if I lose. Let's put it that way.
McCann's doing pretty well against lefties, but still, I'm taking my chances on this one.
And I gamble on him anytime he's at home. That's just the way that's
going to
go. Yeah,
McCann actually is pretty even against righties and lefties in his career, so I guess you might be somewhat right on this one. I'm still going with Salvador in this particular day, but...
That's fine. Anyone else at catcher you want to touch on?
I was going to mention Travis d'Arnaud at $3,300 against Hellickson.
I almost brought him up. I almost did.
But this, like, again, there's other options that are right around the same price or cheaper that you can count on more than Travis d'Arnaud. But he's a guy that I'm going to be looking at moving forward. If he played pretty well prior to the break, and he's a guy with a lot of potential. So if the prices are continuously low, I might start putting him in my lineups.
Hey, you and Mike have something in common.
Ugh, that's sickening.
Yeah, well... Sorry about your luck, man. All right. Over to first base here. I guess let's start at kind of the top end of the spectrum here. Will Myers, $5,400 against Bumgarner. Crazy?
Yes.
Just absolutely bonker nuts?
I wouldn't play Babe Ruth for $5,400 against one of the best lefties in baseball. Get out of here with that.
I mean, that's just absolutely astonishing to me, but... Anyway, moving on from that, Ortiz, $5,300 at Yankee Stadium against Pineda. That's probably my favorite play of the day, but I'm not going to spend $5,300 in this spot. There's a couple of other options I like.
Yeah, I'm with you on that. It's obviously great to play Ortiz, especially against a below-average right-hander for the Yankees. But there's so many first basemen that I like that I'm not paying that price this time.
Yeah. Well, then you start rattling off a few of the ones you're interested in here, because I got about three.
I like Miguel Cabrera at $4,100. Actually, more expensive than that, I love Edwin Encarnacion for $4,600. He leads the majors in RBI. He's on pace for about 40 homers. I feel like the price is down there because he's at Oakland, which obviously isn't a great place to hit, but I'm pretty sure Edwin's got the power to hit it out of any park. So I think that's
E5 has 80 RBIs. Holy crap, that just sunk in.
Yeah, the Toronto's lineup is really heating up. I know Bautista's on the DL, but they've been... hitting really well lately, so I think that's a pretty good price for him. I don't care where the game's at.
Yeah, I think they're averaging about 7 runs a game 10 games prior to the break. So very, very hot right now. Hopefully the All-Star break doesn't cool them off. All right, so you said Miguel Cabrera at 4,100. That's one of the ones I was interested in. But I'm actually curious to see your opinion here because Victor Martinez is the exact same price.
Yeah.
I don't know how to make this call. And I know DraftKings set it up just to piss me off.
Yeah, for now, you kind of have to roll with Victor. He seems to be playing better baseball right now.
He does, and then he's playing better baseball, albeit just slightly, probably. But he one spot lower in the lineup, and he has Miguel Cabrera hitting in front of him, which kind of, you know, that's not a bad thing either. If Miguel doesn't homer, he's probably going to be on base generally. So I kind of like having Martinez in the lineup, and that's the one I actually think I prefer in this matchup.
Yeah, so the reason I mentioned that I'm not willing to pay all that money for Ortiz is because there's so many first basemen that are way cheaper than they should be. I don't know if you noticed this, but there are a handful of guys under 3,800. And I saw these prices. I'm like, is this a mistake? Chris Davis at 3,700? Oh, you mentioned the Chris Archer thing.
Right. That's just a weird thing that they've been doing all season long. But yes, all the Baltimore numbers are going to be way lower than average.
And then also Eric Hosmer for 34. Like,
Hosmer is the one that put the fear of God into me because it's like, man, I really want to get him in there, but I have Verlander in the lineup.
That's a price for – that's like a Hosmer price against a great lefty, not a righty. Like, that's insane to me. And actually, Hosmer is pretty decent against lefties too, so I don't get this price against anybody. I know Verlander's good, but come on now.
I might play Eric Hosmer against Madison Bumgarner for $3,400.
Yeah, I mean, seriously.
I know. That's the one that really blew me out of the water. Jose is pretty cheap too at $3,400, but he's – hit or miss this year, pretty much.
And he's just not great against lefties, which I've talked about before. No. But yeah, still a solid price. And then AJ Reid at 3,400, another guy that, you know, people probably got a hammer Hosmer at 34. Maybe if you want to go a little bit different route and try to get some sneaky power there, AJ Reid against a lefty is pretty solid. He's better against righties historically in the minors, but that's a good price for a guy with a lot of power.
I completely agree with you. I would consider getting Reed in the lineup, but that's another one where I'm considering getting Paxton in. And there's a lot of crossover in this lineup today that I'm not really appreciating. So DraftKings is screwing me to the wall here. I will say that Hosmer is my favorite price of the day.
Yeah.
I think across any position, and I'm not even going to get him in the lineup because I don't know what to do with my pitching if I take Verlander out.
Spoiler alert. Hosmer is in my premier lineup.
Yeah. Well, I cannot fault you for it at all. Hop over to second now?
Yep.
All right, second base here. So Jose Altuve is $5,100 against a lefty, and I think that's probably a pretty nice play for everybody.
Yeah, absolutely. I feel like most people can probably afford to get him in your lineup, especially if you roll with one of those cheap first basemen. You just got to play Altuve against the lefty. I don't care how good the lefty is. He's going to get on base. He's going to steal a base. He's going to score a run. He's going to do something. Maybe he won't hit a homer, but he'll do some damage for you against the lefty for sure.
Yep, I completely agree. He's my number one play at second base. I'm sure he's yours as well. I wasn't able to quite afford him unless I make a couple maneuvers here. Another guy that I am interested in that I wound up rolling with, Jason Kipnis at $4,600 against Irvin Santana at Minnesota. Kipnis been pretty damn good coming into the break here, so I'm hoping to ride a little bit more of that hot streak.
Yeah, that's fair. I do like that play, but I think I prefer Kinsler at the same price.
Yeah, I think I think that's fair too. I was considering it, but I was getting a little bit Detroit heavy if I'd have done that.
Yeah, I knew that's why you didn't do it.
Well, that's part of it. Kipnis is hot as shit, man, coming into the break. So I really like that play. Don't get me wrong, but Kinsler's been so steady all season long.
I know this means nothing, but I'm going to say it anyway. Kinsler is 6-for-9 against Ian Kennedy. My favorite play at second base is Robinson Cano. 4,400 seems a little ridiculous, and we've talked about this many times, but Doug Fister is god-fucking-awful against lefties and stellar against righties. 534 slugging against lefties, 282 against righties. So play your lefties against Doug Fister whenever possible, and Cano at that price is insane.
Yeah, that's a little bit of an oversight by me. That is a really good price for Robbie Cano. You might have missed me. Damn you, Eli. Damn you. Anyway, rolling on down the list here, a couple other options. I like Pedroia all right at a sub-$4,000 price tag, $3,900 at Yankee Stadium against Pineda. Just been pretty steady all year. Not a ton of power, but he's got a 300 average. He'll probably score you a run. He could get you an RBI. So if you're looking to play a little bit on the cheaper side of things, kind of like Pedroia.
Ah, screw the Red Sox.
All right, cool. Couple other second base options here. You have anyone else that you're particularly interested in?
Two guys.
Brett Laurie's $3,500.
Don't care. Neil Walker for $3,700. Pretty great power against a subpar pitcher in Hellickson. And Trey Turner for $3,400. He slugs pretty well against lefties in the minors. I don't know if he's going to be in the lineup, but if he is, that's a pretty good price for a guy you can plug in at second or short, I believe. So yeah, Trey Turner. See if he's in the lineup and consider putting him in there.
I'm surprised you didn't bring up Whit Merrifield against Justin Verlander.
No, I don't. Look, I'm not shitting on Verlander with shitty-ass hitters, man. Only with the best of the best, and Salvi and Hosmer.
All right. I don't have a lot more I love at second base here. I don't hate Logan Forsythe at $3,800, but that's because it's against Gallardo, so I would not hate that play. But there are a couple other options.
I love Forsythe, but I prefer him against lefties.
Sure. I completely understand, but Gallardo's not good, so.
Not incorrect.
You know how I feel about that. If the pitcher's bad, I don't care.
Yeah, I get it.
All right. Third base. There is a play that there's a couple here that are just really, really standing out to me. I want you to give me a couple names you like and see if you touch on them. I'm sure you're going to.
Kyle Seager at $4,900. Love that play. Lefties against Fister once again. And Seager came in.
Huh? Seager $500 more than Cano.
Yeah, a little strange. Maybe it's because Seager's red fucking hot. Six of the last seven games before the break, he had two hits or more. The guy's raking right now. So underrated. Okay. Yeah, he's just such a good hitter.
Mm-hmm.
I also love Todd Frazier at $4,400.
Oh, you would.
Yeah, well, he is slugging 600 plus against lefties, so that's.
He has 25 home runs. You literally just got Adam Dunn again, didn't you?
I mean, basically, except, hold on, though. Frazier can play D, though, so he's better than Adam Dunn, let's be real.
Yeah, all right, but he walks less than Adam Dunn.
True. So. Look, Frazier's been disappointing with the average, but he draws some walks, has great power, plays good D, and all I know is he's a little bit of an upgrade over the shit they had last year, so.
He's an upgrade over everything they've had at third base for the last decade.
You're not incorrect.
All right, the two that stood out to me, just head and shoulders above everything else, was Arenado at $4,100, and then Machado at 42. Now Machado, I'm actually a little bit more interested in at shortstop, but I put Arenado in, and I can't even consider anything else here.
Yeah, I mean that price is ridiculous. Like I feel like they underprice him when he's not a core. It's like, yeah, sure, it's nice to hit in Colorado, but Houston's a good place to hit too. Arenado's a stud, and Lucas Harrell, not exactly a good pitcher. We know this because he couldn't even make it with the White Sox. So, yes. Attack Lucas Harrell with Arenado.
Yes. That price. 25, I mean, a guy who's near the top of the league in home runs for $4,100 against a bad pitcher. I don't understand that price tag at all, but I will be more than happy to take advantage of it. I mean, beyond that, those were the only two names I was even really considering. I like Longoria against Gallardo also. Yeah, I'm all right with most of Tampa Bay at $3,900 for him. I don't know. As far as, like, really cheap options, there weren't a ton I was super interested in.
Yeah, me neither. The cheapest option I liked was Longoria at $39.
Yeah. I mean, I don't hate Valencia. I know we like him against lefties better than we do righties, but I wouldn't hate it at $3,500. You need to save some money.
I do like Michael Franco. I know I've criticized him a lot on the podcast, and maybe I should
only every day.
Maybe I should apologize to him. He's been red hot lately, and I was taking a deep dive in his numbers, and he's actually been pretty unlucky. He makes terrific contact. He never strikes out, so I feel like the average is going to climb up. I think he's been getting BABIPed to death, and I think that's going to turn around. And he's shown that he's clearly has 30 homer power. So I'm investing in Franco moving forward.
All right. Fair enough. I'm glad that you came around on Michael Franco. One of these days, maybe I will too, because I'm still not quite buying it. Anyone else at third?
No, I think that does it.
Stupid fantasy. All right. Shortstop.
So are you talking to yourself or are you okay?
No, I was just making a comment. Stupid fantasy.
Okay. Moving on.
You brought it up, all right? You could have just let it slide. All right, so before the show, you mentioned to me, is there a position that you thought was drastically, there was a lot of cheap options that you liked, and shortstop was what I thought you were talking about.
Well, you're wrong, actually. It was first base, but...
I know it was first base, yeah. But, I mean, let's kind of go through some of the options at short here.
Okay.
Maybe not cheap, opposed to some of the higher end options. There
yeah,
is some,
that's true. It is a weird top of the leaderboard in terms of price at shortstop. Like mm-hmm. the names at the top are weird, and the names right below them, but that's the stud list. It's a little right. strange.
It is. So the top two at shortstop are Eduardo Nunez and Elemdiz Diaz. Nunez 53 against Carrasco?
Yeah, that's like I need Why? An explanation. Even I mean, he does murder lefties, but Carrasco's a righty and Carrasco's right. a great pitcher. So this makes
it's their number one pitcher on the slate.
This might be the weirdest price perhaps I've ever seen. It's up there.
First episode, we saw that one where David Wright was like $5,100. That's still number one, but this is number two. that is just absolutely insane.
Is his ownership percentage going to be like under like 0.2%?
Probably, and it still doesn't matter because he's so overpriced that it's you can't even take advantage of it. Because I don't even think he's going
to
be good.
Oh no, don't play. Like I hope most people playing are smart enough not to pay that price for that. That is insane.
Right, and he will subsequently hit two home runs, I'm sure. Elemdiz Diaz for $5,000. I'm not interested in this either. I mean, Miami's throwing Chen, so that's not good for Miami. But there's a lot of options at the shortstop that you can roll with as opposed to going
Agreed.
That route.
Yeah.
So let's just continue on. Let's go to the stud list here. So we touched on Machado at third a little bit, but he's $4,200 against Archer. I'm all right with it. I mean, are you? There's a lot of shortstop options. So
yes.
do you think that's fair to play, or you'd like someone else? Machado?
Look, it's a perfectly reasonable price, and it's nice that you can play him at two different positions if you got more options to put him in there. I'm not personally doing it because there are other options at similar prices that I like a little bit better. But certainly nothing wrong with him at that price against anybody, honestly.
Yeah. The other guy I liked here, Lindor's $4,100 against Irvin Santana. I just love Francisco Lindor, and now he's just slightly over $4,000. I mean, it's not probably going to happen all that often the rest of the season. So I wouldn't mind taking advantage of that spot either.
That's fine. I like him better against lefties, but that's certainly a good price for him as well. I also like Xander Bogaerts at $4,300. That's a sick price.
Yeah, that's a very good price for Bogaerts. I look at $4,000 against Paxton too. I mean, I have no issues with that. I kind of like Tim Anderson for $4,000 against Santiago too.
I agree with Anderson. I disagree with Correa actually though. I love Correa. Yeah. And I play him all the time, but he really does not hit lefties. It's shocking to me. But I mean, there's so many good shortstops at that exact price. Basically, that why roll with a guy that just doesn't hit lefties?
What do you think about Story for $4,200? Against Harrell.
That's all. It's similar to Nolan Arenado, Arenado. Like, depressed price because it's on the road, but
right.
So it's still. Oh wait, I thought Atlanta is not exactly a great place to hit, but.
No, it's not. But it's still not a great pitcher in Harrell. I mean, we basically said the same thing over there. The difference between Aaron and Story here is Arenado's the better player of the two, and Story's surrounded by a lot of other studs. It's about the same price tag tomorrow, so
mm-hmm.
I don't think I would play him, but I don't think there's any issue with it at all. I mean, if you want to get really cheap, I mean, me and Mike kind of talked about Jose Reyes last week, so I mean, you don't want to play him because of the person he is. We kind of understand that, but he is $3,500, and he's been relatively decent since coming back with the Mets here. So if you're looking for a cheap and that's someone you could consider, you mentioned Trey Turner at second base. He's $3,400 against Liriano, kind of like that play. Beyond that, there's not a whole lot of super cheap options that I love, and I don't really think you have to go cheap at short because all the studs are priced at really low prices for whatever reason.
I also like Corey Seager for $4,800. I'm guessing to be determined. Probably
I don't,
won't be very good, so.
That's probably true, but I don't even think I would spend on him.
No, yeah, I
agree. Because there's so many others.
I probably wouldn't either, but God, he's so good.
No, he is. I completely agree with you. I wouldn't fault anyone for putting him in there. It's just not the route that I would go. I'm ready to move to outfield unless you had anyone else that sure you wanted to hit on.
No, let's do it.
All right, outfield.
I love my outfield so much in my premiere.
Yeah.
It's so sexy.
I kind of went, I probably a little bit, well, no, I really didn't, though. I don't really love my team at all. I played Mike Trout.
Me too.
That was fun. Yeah. I love Mike Trout.
Yes. $5,000 for Trout is a reasonable price against anyone. And in this case, he's facing a White Sox good starter, which we all know is a great career move. And also, yep. He's got three homers against Miguel Gonzalez. So he's going deep.
Yep. I'm in agreement with that. Trout is my number one play in the outfield. Sounds like you're in the boat with me there. Trumbo is another one I'll just touch on. $4,700. This is the one Baltimore guy that I'm still not in love with it, even at that price tag. Adam Jones is 36. I much prefer Jones against Archer as opposed to Trumbo. But do you have any interest there? I know you're playing Archer in your lineup, but
yeah, I mean, guy does have 28 homers, so.
And he's hitting .290 almost. How the hell is he doing this?
I'm not playing him. It's you know, he is facing a guy with some potential, and it's at Tampa Bay, not a great place to hit. So there's a couple things working against it, but it's nothing wrong with rolling with Trumbo until he slows down. He is red hot right now.
What do you think about Giancarlo coming off the 61 bombs?
Love it. He's playing well, playing much better, seems to be turning things around. Price is pretty reasonable at 49, and he historically is a lefty murderer, so nothing wrong with that. I actually might like his teammate a little bit better here, Marcell Ozuna. I criticized him before the year. Looks like I was wrong on that one. You got to play him against lefties. He's slashing .368, .415, .750. My God, he's murdering lefties. he's Babe Ruth the lefties. But $4,400 for a guy that with that kind of platoon advantage, my God, yeah, you got to get him in there.
Yeah, that's a nice price for Ozuna there. I didn't realize he was crushing quite like that. What do you think about Ryan Braun against Desclafani? I kind of like this play. I know Desclafani's been having a pretty good season, but and Braun hasn't been all that good that as of late, but I kind of am interested here.
Yeah, that's a pretty good price for a guy that's hitting above .300 who has a fair amount of power and can chip in with an occasional steal. So, yeah, it's pretty good. What do you think? I love Piscotty, $4,900. I know it seems like a lot to pay for a non-elite power hitter outfielder, but
I just wouldn't do it with Stanton at the same price right now. I got
both of them in there, but if you
want to go that route,
I actually have Trout, Piscotty, and Ozuna, but Piscotty's slashing .351, .468 OBP, and a .597 slugging against lefties. It's insane what he's doing. Yeah, he's not a great power hitter, but against lefties, he kind of is.
I don't hate it. I certainly don't hate it, but I don't have the ability to get both of them in my lineup. And if I was going to pick one, I'd rather have Stanton. And that's over fair. Stanton, I'd rather have Trout. But I don't dislike it at all. Springer against Paxton, $4,600.
Yeah, it's not bad.
Yeah, I kind of like that price too. Springer, not elite coming into the break, but it's George Springer. He's totally capable of hitting a yak there. Jock Peterson against TBD, $4,200.
I've been a sucker for Jock Peterson all year, but I think I'm gonna get off that train for now. When this is one of those guys that when he gets hot, you ride him for a little while, but until he gets hot, I'm gonna stay away.
All right, fair enough. Charlie Blackmon, 39 against Seattle.
We mentioned all the Colorado guys seem to be underpriced on the road. I know the splits are pretty extreme for most of these guys, but they're still pretty solid, and it's not like they should be priced at 4,000 or below. It's insane.
Adam Jones at 3,600. I already touched on that a couple times, but that's my cheap option of the day. I have him in my lineup. Yep.
I also love Michael Taylor. He's hot garbage against righties, but against lefties, he is slugging .508, and he might be leading off. So, and he does have the power speed combination that we like. So I do think Michael Taylor's a guy that you should try to fit in your lineup if you can against lefties.
Cargo for 35.
Yes.
I know, right?
I didn't know. Why? That was a good find.
I know. Why is that? Why is that a thing?
I don't know. Yeah, it should be no time in life where Randall Grichuk is more expensive than Carlos Gonzalez.
Nope, I agree.
I hate Randall Grichuk so much.
I want to say this just so you can stop yelling at me for being a homer. I would not play Justin Upton for $3,400.
Oh, is it because he's bad at baseball? Or
That's partly the reason why, but I just want to... record is saying it one time, so you can stop busting my balls about it.
What about Billy Hamilton at 3,500? Cheap speed.
I don't play Billy Hamilton ever.
Tough guy. Yeah, that's perfectly reasonable.
I'd under no circumstance would I do that, especially when Carlos Gonzalez is the same price.
There's not a lot of good cheap options, but Yasmani Tomas at 3,400. He's been pretty decent in the series, on pace for 25 homers or so. So cheap power potentially. I'm not saying do it, but. If you have to go cheap at outfield, which I really don't think you're going to have to do, but if you have to get one cheap guy in there, maybe you want to go that route.
Souza for 31 against Gallardo.
No.
Outside of that,
I'm really sure Mike will roll with it, but Souza sucks.
I'm sure he probably will. Steven Moya, $3,000.
No.
Yep.
And basically, whoever I recommend, you're going to say no, and whoever you recommend, I'm going to say no. There's really just no cheap options in the outfield right now.
Carlos Gomez, $2,900.
I did see that. Normally, I would love that, but he's not good anymore.
No, he's again bad at baseball. He was bad at baseball, and then he was good at baseball, and then he was bad at baseball again.
What about, I don't know what the latest is on this. I don't know if he's going to get sent down to AAA, but Josh Bell, the Pirates, for $2,600. Now, if he's staying up with the big club, that guy's got some power, hits for a good average. I love that price for Josh Bell.
$2,600.
Yeah.
I mean, monitor the lineup, make sure you know what's going on in that situation.
There's a reasonable chance he's getting sent down, but I actually think they're going to keep him up. That's just my gut feeling.
I would like to see that. Maybe it might depend on the Nationals are actually throwing in that game, but I don't know.
Yeah.
I certainly don't hate it. Let's put it that way. All right. We're wrapping this up.
Yeah, we went way too long. We failed miserably. Why don't we quickly go through our premier lineups? I'll start. I have Archer and Stroman. It's possible that I'll make a change there because I don't really have all that much confidence in Archer right now, but that's what I'm doing. Salvador Perez, Eric Hosmer, Robinson Cano, Kyle Seager, Trey Turner. That's a decent chance to switch out of that because he may not even be in the lineup. But my outfield is staying, and it's a goddamn studly. Ozuna, Piscotty, and Trout.
Yeah, that's pretty. All right, so I've got Stroman, Verlander. I've got Gattis, Victor Martinez at first. I wish I was playing Eric Hosmer first, but I can't. Kipnis at second, Arenado at third. I do have Machado at short, and then my outfield goes Braun, Jones, and Trout. But I think what's going to end up happening here is Kipnis goes to Cano, and Machado goes to Lindor, and then lets me take Braun out and get Giancarlo in.
Ooh, I like that. I think that's that's a great
change. Yeah, I think that's going to be how that winds up playing out. So, yeah, we will check those out, Eli. We will see if I crush you yet again. I actually don't even know if I've been crushing you. I don't really know.
Basically, all we care about is McCann versus Salvador.
And neither of us are playing him.
That's actually pretty fun. No, I'm playing Salvador.
Oh, you are? Missed that. I thought you said you were playing I thought you said Gattis also.
No, I don't listen to you. I don't want to have any of the same guys in my lineup that you do.
Well, you're about to, because I'm going to put Cano in here.
Oh, you rat bastard.
Hey, sorry, dude. You made a compelling argument, and I want to get Giancarlo in my lineup. Hey, I told you at the time. We're wrapping this podcast up.
All right, wrap it up.
All right. You can follow me on Twitter at CameronMiller00. Eli, you want to let everyone know where they can follow you and what you're working
on? Yeah, I'm on Twitter at EliFWFB, and I'm not really working on anything, so there's that.
Sweet. Yeah, no, I know how that is. We do hope that you will listen to the Tuesday podcast. This is the Friday podcast, but it's also the crew that you will hear on Tuesdays generally. So if you enjoyed this episode, make sure you come back and see us. I can't imagine you did, though, for God's sakes. But then come back and listen to us on Tuesdays, typically the Friday show I conduct with Mike Werner of Friends with Fantasy Benefits. Other than that, we appreciate everyone listening, and we will see you on Tuesday.